Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us gathered here. Melt us, mold us, use us, Lord, that despite my stammering tongue and the glaring discrepancies in my character, that your word might be lifted up. O young and fearless prophet, O crucified and risen Lord, grant tongues of fire to preach your word this day. Amen. About 30 years ago, Cruz and Debbie Santiago met at Coney Island Beach in New York City. They were homeless. They were addicted to drugs. They were experimenting with witchcraft. They were involved in gangs. They lived in a meager shelter underneath the Coney Island boardwalk. That was their home, except when they were in jail. Jail was their second home, their home away from home. Then one evening, when Debbie was in jail, something happened. It was a little thing, such a little thing that you wouldn't even think that it would make a big difference, but it did. The little thing that made the big difference was a Bible. A jail matron handed Debbie a Bible through the bars. What do you think about that matron? Do you think she expected her $2 Bible to make a difference? She had given out many, many Bibles to prisoners before. She had seen them leave without changing. She probably felt like you and I feel sometimes, that we do our best, but nothing seems to happen. Maybe she still feels that way because Debbie didn't change either, not right away. While she was in jail, Debbie began to read her Bible. She read it every day. She was fascinated by the stories she read in it. Of course, what else did she have to do with all the hours that she had? But then she got out and she fell back into drugs again. And then she ended up in the hospital in a coma because of drugs. And she woke up to the hissing sound, the rhythm of the respirator as she was at death's door. She woke up on the path to death on which she was walking. She had been there before, but this time it was different because she had been reading that Bible that the matron, that Christian lady in prison, had given her. This time she knew what to do. This time she prayed that God would release her from the drugs that she was addicted to, and God did. This time she dedicated her life to Christ, and Christ made the difference. When she was released from the hospital, Debbie went to the jail to visit Cruz. Cruz noticed a difference in her. He said she was clean. She talked about the Lord. She left me a Bible. Cruz also began to read that Bible and eventually became a Christian. In 1988, Cruz and Debbie were married. But there's more. If Paul Harvey were telling this story, he would say, and now for the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that Cruz and Debbie started the Salt and the Sea Mission near Coney Island. They're helping people just like the people they used to be, homeless, addicted, headed for jail, and headed for death. They preach the gospel. They feed anyone in need. 60 on an ordinary day, hundreds at Thanksgiving. They also operate a latchkey program and help 350 children at a local nearby welfare hotel. Every Sunday after church, they walk down to the beach and they poke into those secluded places where they used to live, and they give people a piece of bread and they give them the bread of life. Today's gospel story that I read from the book of John is a very familiar story. It's one that is so familiar for Christians because it offers cherished portraits of Jesus, whose heart is so there for believers. It's a believer-friendly message, and it speaks of the constant and consistent spiritual nourishment that we receive by continually feasting in faith upon Jesus Christ, who is the very bread of life. Today, though, I'd like us to consider this familiar theme, this theme of spiritual sustenance, but with a twist, and perhaps a connection that you have not thought of before. We've heard this approach before. We never have enough. We always want more. And as overworked as that message is, as pointed and overwhelmingly relevant it still is today, we never have enough. We crave and crave, yet we continually find ourselves never truly satisfied, even us sitting here in this church today. We experience a gnawing hunger, a restlessness, an emptiness, a loneliness, sometimes even a vacuum, a lack of purpose and meaning and significance in our lives. Even in dealing with God, we may never have enough evidence to help us to really believe that God exists. Many of us continue to play the Bob Barker game, let's make a deal with God. Oh God, if you do this, I'll do that. We just want to make a deal with God. Or perhaps there is still some of us who are playing The Price is Right. You know that game. I'll get whatever is behind door number one, or number two, or number three, God, if I just am good enough, if I just do it well enough so that you will accept me. One commentator writes, "We always want to tell God how to act and how to deal with us in our lives. We want our needs to be met in certain ways. It's not enough for God to meet our needs. We want our needs met as we want them. We want to do it our way. We try to dictate to God, and somehow it's telling God how to make us full enough, how to fill us, how to give us what we are seeking." Now, some of you may be thinking, "Oh, no, I walk that path so well. I work very hard on my faith." But you know what? I think if probably each of us are honest with ourselves, we find that there are areas where we are still hungry, areas where we are seeking and striving and don't seem to be able to get enough or to get it the way we want it. And I'm here to confess that in the past, I have tried to bargain with God, to tell God how my life should be. And you know what? It never is the way I think or thought I wanted it to be. And I'm beginning to find out that the best way to be in relationship with God is to switch seats and to make God the pilot and to let go and stop trying to do it my way, but to do it God's way. The bread of life is not bread which comes from the clouds above the earth. The bread of life is a bread that comes from heaven itself, descending from that spiritual dimension of being, from the very presence of God. Yet with the bread of life comes the grace and the faith to sustain us in knowing that no matter what happens to us, God in Jesus Christ will be with us and will give us the strength to weather whatever life throws at us. We eat our food so that our bodies can have fuel and so that we will be able to live and grow and move through life. Earthly food gives us strength for our physical existence. But the spiritual food, the bread of life that I am talking about, gives us strength for our spiritual existence. And let me tell you, folks, every one of us here has a spirit. Every one of us are spiritual beings, whether we know it or have experienced it or not. Now, the twist of this message is that by feasting on Jesus, on his person, his word, his promises, and the hope that we have in him, the twist is, what are we being strengthened to do? What is all this talk about getting nourished with the bread of life about? Where and how does the spiritual food as spiritual fuel begin to evidence itself in our lives? Cruz and Debbie Santiago, in our story, found that by feasting on the true bread of life, their lives changed completely. Rather than feasting on the dregs of drugs and self-destruction, they began to savor the flavor of Christ, the very taste of truth and grace. They were able to let go of all those addictions and the brokenness that they had experienced. And they were able to move forward. The bread of life gave them nourishment and strength and sustenance to move outside themselves toward confronting the needs of others. And they have done that so beautifully by the sustaining grace of God working in and through their lives. The bread of life fuels and fortifies love within a new heart that has been given to us. If any of you were here for Sunday school and saw the clowns, they were at various parts, they had a paper heart, and they were given a new heart, and you saw the transformation in each of the clowns' lives from their various brokenness, their various baggage. And that's what the bread of life does for us. It gives us a new heart. It opens up our heart in ways that we have never been opened up before. And as we receive this bread of life, this very bread from God, we remain nurtured and nourished, as well as being tenderized in grace, not only to feed someone a morsel of bread, but also to extend that which we see needs to be renewed or to be transformed or to be healed. A valid question for each of us to ponder is this: how is the spiritual strength in my life through the daily digestion of God's bread of life evidenced in my life each day? In what ways can I see the fruits of God's grace working in my life? If we're not experiencing those fruits, and you know from Scripture the fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, and I could go on and on. If we don't see those being manifested in our lives, then I ask you, what needs to be changed? Of course, there remains strength to prayer and worship and fellowship. These are the ways that we feed on the bread of life. But these areas do not exclude the areas of mission and evangelism and outreach and hospitality. And our pains and our traumas and our past issues of bondage and brokenness and addictions can now be used for God's glory. Cruz and Debbie Santiago did not forget that place where they had met Jesus and from which they had been delivered. They returned to that place with bread for the belly and bread for the soul to deliver others who were there who needed to be rescued and who needed to be transformed, who needed to be fed with the very bread of life. Although we are told in Scripture to keep our hands to the plow and to never look back, it may be the path of our past and the pain of our past that we need to offer on the plate of service, along with a side of the bread of life. That others may learn through us and our healed wounding what a transformed life can be and how it can give glory to God in Jesus Christ. As the matron of our story reached out her hand through that prison bars to Debbie, may each of us seek to share the bread of life, the grace of Jesus Christ, by reaching out through our very being, where we are and who we are. And as we do that, we will not only be transforming and building God's kingdom, but we will continue to be transformed ourselves. Amen.